We ended part one on Moses in Exodus chapter 7, but I don't want to go through everything that occurs throughout the rest of Exodus. And of course, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This isn't about the Israelites. This isn't about their journey. This isn't about them being freed and what they did in their many rebellions. This is about the life of Moses. So chapter 7, we see Moses and Aaron finally going before Pharaoh, and they start performing the miracles that the Lord told them to. Moses commands Aaron to throw down his staff. It becomes a serpent, probably a king cobra. That's the snake that the Egyptians looked at as a special creature. The magicians of Pharaoh, those who dabbled in the black arts, also were able to do this, but the staff that Aaron had thrown down swallowed up all the other serpents that the magicians had created. Then, of course, we go on and we start seeing the plagues that the Lord starts bringing upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It starts off with the plague of blood, the water in the Nile, and even water in streams and canals and ponds and reservoirs and even in buckets and stone jars turned to blood. But the magicians, the people of Pharaoh, practicing their black arts, were also able to do this. Pharaoh's heart remained hard. So then we have the plague of frogs, and the magicians were able to bring frogs up as well. Finally, though, we get to the plague of gnats, and the magicians were not able to do this. And from that point on, you see God's glory, his power, beyond any reproach, beyond any challenge, that truly he is the King of Kings. Because from this point on, all the plagues that came upon Egypt could not be copied by the magicians. So this is where we continue. And of course, we know about the plague on the firstborn, the final one, where even the firstborn of Pharaoh is killed. Finally, he lets the Israelites go. And from there, we know what went on. We know about them crossing the Red Sea. We know about the Lord bringing the Red Sea over the Egyptian army, destroying that. There were other things that occurred along the way. But what I want to talk about, what I want to point out, is the fact that throughout the time, Moses was constantly tested by the Israelites. They were constantly grumbling against the Lord. And they were using Moses as their sounding board, if you will. They were going to him and crying out to him. This had to be horrible. This had to just grate on his nerves over the time. 40 years after, of course, they refused to go into the promised land, after 10 of the 12 spies talked about how the people there were large and their cities were well walled, and this was basically what they were saying, suicide, to try to take the seven nations on. So the people rebelled and refused to go in. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, let's follow the Lord, let's go into battle because we're going to win. But the people listened to the 10 and rebelled. And for 40 years, Moses had to listen to the people constantly bickering, a stiff-necked and obstinate people. Every time they went somewhere, if there was no water, they'd cry out, did the Lord bring us out here to die? Because there's no water, or there's no food, or there's this, or there's no that. They had an excuse constantly to rebel. Even during the time Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, they, as the Bible said, sat down to eat and drink and got up and engaged in revelry. And then, of course, Aaron wimped out. It's the only way to say it. And they told Aaron, we want a God of our own. So he said, give me gold, and created a golden calf. So even Aaron didn't have the courage to stand up against the people. Yet he was chosen to stand with Moses. So you see Aaron not able to hold up. Moses comes down from the mountain, sees the golden calf and the people engaging in revelry. Of course, the Lord had told him on the mountain that this is what they were doing, so he knew what he was going to find when he came down. In his anger, he cast the stone tablets down. They shattered. And the Israelites continue throughout Exodus, and as we move into the other three books, to test the Lord on and on for the 40 years. You would think that they would fear the Lord, but stiff-necked, obstinate. It's not about learning. It's about trying to do what you want to do. The Bible talks about people being willfully ignorant. We see the Israelites as a great example of this. They knew that the Lord was with them. Every time they cried out, he answered. They saw his greatness in the plagues on Egypt. He went by day in front of them. By night, he stood watch over them. They knew who he was. They just didn't want to follow him. They were free from Egypt, but now they wanted to be free from the Lord and do what they wanted. Truly sinful people, just like us, we're the same way. You look at the government today, I look at our president, Joe Biden, old, becoming very feeble, seemingly senile, losing his faculties in many ways, coming close to death, his age. He's facing death. And yet talks about abortion and how it should be legalized, praises the homosexual community. You would think that he would be terrified as he gets close to judgment. But you don't see that, do you? People facing death refuse to repent. And Moses had to put up with this for 40 years in the desert, constantly. Even Aaron and Miriam opposed Moses at one point because of Moses' wife. They grumbled against Moses. I think a lot of this was Miriam pushing Aaron. Again, if you look back at Aaron and the calf, he's sort of a wimp. He's not a very strong man. I think she was a very dominant woman because only Miriam was struck with leprosy. If you read the chapter, Aaron wasn't struck. I think the Lord looked down and realized, this guy's a wimp. This guy's a total wuss. This woman is pushing him because only she was struck. As we go on through the book of Numbers, we see the people rebelling again and again. Chapter 14, chapter 16. Finally, we get to chapter 20, and this is where Moses and Aaron mess up. The whole company, the whole nation of Israel, arrived at the desert of Zin. They stayed at Kadesh. This is where Miriam died. And they began again to quarrel with Moses and Aaron about water. There is no water. God tells them, take your staff, go to the rock, speak to the rock, and it will pour out water. But instead of glorifying God, Moses became angry. They had tested him so many times that Moses said, must we bring you water from this rock, Aaron and him? He said, and this is King James. We use this one. Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Remember what he said. Remember what the Lord told them in the beginning. The Lord had told them to speak unto the rock. He did say, take the rod and gather thou assembly together, but speak unto the rock. He didn't say, strike the rock. He said, speak unto it, and it shall give forth its water. Moses just struck the rock. He was so angry, he said, shall Aaron and I bring the water out? But he didn't give glory to God. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 106 speaks about this. Let's start in verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife. This is in the desert of Zin, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Other translations say he spoke rashly with his lips. And because of this sin, and I wonder if the Lord hadn't looked down on Moses and realized that he was just getting tired. Could you imagine 40 years constantly having people angry at God? Really, it's who they were angry with, but taking it out on you as the leader, constantly fighting with you, arguing with you, condemning you. Why should you be our leader? Who are you? There were times that the men tried to rebel against Moses. Why are we following Moses? Because the Lord said so. It wasn't that they were really rebelling against Moses. They were rebelling against the Lord. This wasn't about Moses. This was about God. And the Lord knew it. But Moses had to take the constant verbal beating. That has to grate on your nerves. It would grate on mine. So I think a time that Moses, he would just become so angry after 40 years of this, that he spoke rashly. He shouldn't have said what he said. He should have brought glory to God, but instead he was angry and said, shall we bring you water? The Lord said, speak to the rock, but he just struck the rock in anger. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And because of this, the Lord said, you will not enter, neither you nor Aaron, into the promised land. You will not lead this congregation. So all that Moses had put up with, all that he had tolerated, thinking that he was going to go into the promised land because of the people. Isn't that funny? Because of the people, the stiff-necked and obstinate people, because he was provoked to anger, he suffered the punishment. Yes, the people were punished. Many of them were struck down during this time. But could you imagine leading people for 40 years, putting up with this garbage, this nonsense, this evil from these people, these lies? Constant testing of the Lord. And now you don't get to enter the promised land. That's sad. And Moses cried out to God, please, 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 let me go in. Finally, the Lord said, enough. I'm going to take you up on top of the mountain. I'm going to let you see the promised land, but you will not enter it. Joshua is to lead them. And Joshua did. Both Moses and Aaron died before they entered the promised land. What a shame. Even the great Moses, a humble man, more humble than anyone else on earth, could be driven to speak rash words in anger. So much so that the Lord felt that this sin was so bad that he wouldn't allow Moses to go in. But I think it was more than that. I think it was more than just a sin. I think it was also the fact that the Lord saw that Moses was starting to lose a little bit. Who wouldn't? Could you imagine putting up with this for 40 years, these people? It had to get on his nerves. It had to test him. Their constant grumbling, their constant complaining, their constant challenging of the Lord, their constant hatred of God. So we see Moses, a great man chosen by God, finally failing. This life can push all of us to failure. If people like Moses, who are so humble, could get pushed to making rash, ill-advised statements in his anger, how much more many of us who aren't nearly as humble as him, who aren't willing to follow God like he did? And once again, even in his humility, still argued with God. I don't want to do this. I don't know what to do. Send someone else. He didn't want to do it, but he did, because God said, you are my chosen. He chose Moses. Moses didn't choose Moses. Moses didn't want to do it. Moses would have been perfectly fine being a shepherd till the day he died. Instead, he led Israel, had to wander in the desert for 40 years, and then couldn't even enter the promised land when it was time, because they pushed him. God will call you. Understand that it is not you, no matter how faltering your lips, uncircumcised in the sense that maybe you don't know the gospel as well as you should. Read the Bible. Pray. But most importantly, let the Holy Spirit speak through you. He'll do the talking. You don't have to. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't study Scripture. Moses was given the law, and he wrote it down. Because as you write things down, your brain memorizes. So the Lord wanted Moses to know the law, to write it down, to memorize it. We're not called to go in totally ignorantly. We're told in the New Testament, when someone asks you about why you're saved, have an answer. Be prepared. The Lord doesn't mean for you to be totally ignorant and just let him do everything. Know your Scripture. Know your Bible. But don't be afraid. It's not possible for anyone to memorize the entire book. The Lord knows that. Be prepared to be used. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. If you have something that you're going to speak about to people, go ahead and study it. He'll guide you to that. But don't be afraid if you don't remember everything or understand everything. He'll take care of it. We see at the Mount of Transfiguration two people, Elijah and Moses, stood with Jesus. So this man who was not allowed to go into the promised land, still, when we see the glory of Christ on earth, as witnessed by Peter, James, and John, we see two people standing with him in glory. So glorious, in fact, that Peter was scared out of his wits. He didn't know what he was saying. He was babbling. So God loved Moses. Moses messed up. God said, it's time. Your job is done. But Moses was still considered one of the greatest men of the Bible, even with all of his shortcomings. He had a lot. He had quite a few. But the Lord doesn't look at the shortcomings. The Lord says, you're ready. Let's go. I'm the Creator. I made you. Let's go. Go. Don't argue. Don't come up with 100 reasons why I can't. Choose someone else. No. The Lord chooses you. You're the one that he prepared before the dawn of time to carry out whatever job it is he wants you to do. Do it. Don't be afraid. It's normal to have some apprehension of the unknown. We talk about the fear of the unknown all the time. But don't be so afraid that you don't act. We see Moses, with all of his flaws, doing God's work, putting up with things that most of us would have fallen apart long before he did. Even at the end, when he rashly spoke, and the Lord said it was time, you're done. But you know something? It's okay. Because there he was, with Christ, in glory, standing there in front of witnesses who saw it. No matter how many screw-ups we do, no matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we drop the ball, no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many excuses we think we have or try on the Lord, he still loves us. He'll still use us to bring glory to him. Don't be afraid. Just do the work he asks you to do, and don't be afraid. So no matter what he asks of us, we can accomplish it through him. So don't fear, but rejoice that you've been chosen to carry out his work.